Whether you are in Lynn or Revere, would somebody just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. When I was a child, I spent most of my summers visiting my grandparents in Wisconsin, and I would drive up, and I spent a lot of time specifically with my grandfather. My grandfather would, they're cute, aren't they? My grandparents right there, my grandmother, grandfather. My grandmother's still alive. My grandmother's still alive. And so we would sit around, and he would take me to work with him, and we would talk about different things. He would tell me about being when he was in World War II and the Navy and the South Pacific and all of that entailed. We would go to work, and he did something interesting for work. He was a cheesemaker. He made cheese, like award-winning cheese from world cheese competitions or something. I don't know. He made lots of cheese, and there was this place next to the cheese factory where they stored cheese in these cold storage warehouses, where there's just giant rows of cheese and these giant blocks of cheese. And we would go in to this cold storage warehouse, and he had this tool with him, and this was his tool, and this was his father's tool before him. And he would go in, and he would kind of look at the cheese and see how long it had been there, and then he would tap the cheese to see if it sounded like it was done, and he would sniff the cheese to see if it sounded like it was done. And then it would be a couple months along, or 3 months, or a couple of years along, depending on the cheese. And then when he thought it was done, he would take this tool, and he would stab the cheese, and he would twist it, and he'd pull out this long cylindrical cheese. And then he would taste it, and I would taste it with him. It might be extra sharp cheddar. It might be the best blue cheese in the world. It might be Limburger cheese, which nobody seems to like. So we would have all these cheeses, and I got this taste for it. So we spent a lot of time together during those moments. Well, last Christmas, shortly before my grandfather passed away, it was clear that he was in failing health. And at the age of 94, it was clear that his time on this earth was limited. And he started to be very intentional over the last few years about what he would talk to us about when we were with him. And he was consistent until the day he died. He wanted to talk about two things. He no longer wanted to talk about being in the war. He no longer wanted to talk about the cheese and the awards. He wanted to talk about faith and family. After 94 years of life, my grandfather had boiled down life to its two most important elements, faith and family. He wanted me to tell him about my wife and kids, even though they were sitting right next to me. He just couldn't see them. He wanted me to tell him about you, East Coast International Church, even though you never got to meet him. But he prayed for you for most of the 18 years of our church's history. He wanted me to tell him about how I was doing in my relationship with Jesus. I'm like, Grandpa, I still am a pastor. He goes, you still have to tell me. This man, who had made lots of money, who had won military honor, accolades for business and industry, had risen to the top of his profession. In the last days, all he wanted to focus on was faith and family. What people talk about at the end of their life is interesting. It's what they think is important or what's urgent. There are other interesting last words from other people. Richard Mellon was a multimillionaire. He was the president of Alcoa. And he and his brother Andrew had been in a unique game of tag. And that game of tag had lasted for over 7 decades. When Richard was on his deathbed, he called his brother over and whispered, last tag, you're it. And then he died. And then his brother was stuck being it for 4 years before he died. Leonardo da Vinci, famous painter and artist, his last words were this, I've offended God and mankind because my work did not reach the quality it should have. Leonard Nimoy, a.k.a. Spock, at the end of his last tweet, said, LLAP, which means live long and prosper. Interesting last words. I've been thinking about this idea of the last things people say or the last things people do. And a lot of attention has been given to the very last words of Jesus. A lot of attention. Because his last words were, some of them were, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." He didn't want to hold against those that were killing him. To a repentant rebel next to him on another cross, he said to him, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." And his last words were, "It is finished." But a lot of attention has been paid to the last words of Jesus. I started to think, well, what about the last things of Jesus? What about the last things he did? What about the last miracle of Jesus? What was the last miracle of Jesus? So I started to research. And if you research the last miracle of Jesus, you will find that most people say that the last miracle of Jesus took place on the day that he was arrested. You see, Jesus was a teacher, and people flocked to listen to him. And Jesus was a miracle worker, and people brought their sick to be healed. Jesus was also claiming to be the long-awaited promised one that Israel had been waiting for. Jesus was also identifying himself as God, not God-like, but God. And he was backing up everything that he said, and it was causing a problem, a lot of challenge to the Roman occupiers of Jerusalem. So they decided that it was time to get rid of Jesus. And so, in their attempt to get rid of Jesus, this is what happens. They arrest him. Luke chapter 22. But even as Jesus said this, a crowd approached, led by Judas, one of the 12 disciples. Judas walked over to Jesus to greet him with a kiss. But Jesus said, "Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" When the other disciples saw what was about to happen, they exclaimed, "Lord, should we fight? We brought swords." So that's the kind of people Jesus ran with, people that would bring swords. And one of them struck at the high priest's slave. The high priest was the one that was having him arrested. He struck at the slave, slashing off his right ear. But Jesus said, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear and he healed him. Now, stay with the story for a minute. Jesus is being arrested after one of the most difficult nights of his life. He knows that he's about to be led to a horrible, horrible death. He will be tortured. He will be executed unjustly. Jesus understands what is about to happen. And yet he stops just for a moment to make sure. And he touches the slave whose ear was cut off, and he heals his ear. That slave's name was Malchus. And Jesus took a moment in the worst moment of his life. Jesus took a moment to heal Malchus and to change his life. Just imagine you're a slave, you're being sent to do something. All of a sudden, your ear is cut off. That has to be a difficult emotional moment. It's a little painful, probably. And then in the next moment, your ear is healed and restored. Just that swing. Ouch! Whoa! You know, it's this emotional roller coaster that was happening with Malchus. Think about this. If there was ever a moment in the history of the universe that God was busy, this was the moment. And yet Jesus still showed up. And I want you to get this hard today. Jesus is not too busy to show up for you. No matter what, how small, no matter how big, God is not too busy for you. It might seem small. It might seem insignificant. You might say to yourself, "Why bother God with it?" But if Jesus wanted to fix a slave's ear, which was not a matter of life or death, by the way, then know this: God is interested even in the smallest parts of your life. Because he knows that small things matter. They mean something to you. He is concerned for you and even the smallest details of your life. The last miracle of Jesus was to heal the ear of Malchus, the slave. Or at least that's what the internet says. But that's not really the last miracle of Jesus. You see, there was another miracle after this. And it's the miracle that brings you all here today. The miracle of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus was executed on a Friday afternoon, and on Sunday morning, history was completely changed. Matthew chapter 28 tells, after the crucifixion, after Jesus had been buried in a tomb, suddenly there was a great earthquake. It was Sunday morning. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning. His clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear, and they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He isn't here. He has risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come see where his body was lying, and now go quickly and tell his disciples that he was risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you." The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, somebody say, as they went. As they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him. But some of them doubted. Now, this is the account of the resurrection from the dead of Jesus Christ. And people responded then just like they do now. Some people responded and they were a little shaken. The whole thing was too much. First, Jesus was a hero and a miracle worker, widely honored and popular. Then he was arrested and beaten and tortured. Then he was killed. And now he's alive. It's just too much to handle. And they were shaken a little or a lot. People respond the same way today. It's just a little too much to handle. Other people were skeptical, just like they're skeptical today. They didn't want to get their hopes up. This is somebody they had trusted already. They trusted that he was the Messiah, that he was the promised one. And then he was like ripped out of their hands and ripped out of their hearts. And it was so hard to trust this idea that Jesus was alive. And I think a lot of people today relate to this idea, because sometimes when trust has been stolen from your life, it takes you a little bit longer to believe something that requires you to trust. Because it's difficult to trust in the people that you're supposed to be able to trust in, let alone someone that you can't even see. It's just difficult. Especially something like Jesus is no longer dead. That's difficult to trust. I can understand why somebody would be skeptical. But then there were other people who were absolutely certain. The moment they heard that Jesus had risen from the dead, it all clicked. They understood everything that Jesus had ever taught to them before that they didn't understand. They now understood. It all just pieced together, and they were thrilled. They were thrilled. And there are people today, the very first time they hear about Jesus, they say to themselves, "This is what I've been looking for my whole life." And it just clicks. There's a lot of different ways that people respond. The angels had told the ladies, "Go and tell." And that's what they were doing. The women at the tomb, they were told, "Go and tell." And so that's exactly what they started to do. And in verse 9, as it says, "And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them." And I want you to notice this very carefully today. that the very moment, the moment that they got to physically see with their own eyes and touch with their own hands the resurrected Jesus for the first time, it was after, somebody say after, it was after they had obeyed. It was after they had obeyed. It was as they went. Tell your neighbor, as they went. It was as they went. And it might not seem like that big of a deal, but there is something incredibly powerful spiritually about following through with what you're supposed to do. When you follow through with what you're supposed to do, even if you don't fully understand it, Jesus has a way of showing up along the way. Another thing that's super powerful is just showing up. Tell your neighbor to show up. Not tell them, keep showing up. Keep showing up. You know what that's about. You got to keep showing up, because when you show up, it releases something. Jesus knows that's where you're going to be. Another thing is going where you are supposed to go. If you are waiting for Jesus to show up in your life, let me ask you this. Are you waiting when you should be going? Are you staying when you're supposed to be leaving? Are you in the place where Jesus has already scheduled an appointment to meet with you? Are you where you're supposed to be? It's so easy to get distracted by all of the junk in your life, to get discouraged and just stop moving. And this is a huge mistake that people make. Something hard happens in their life, something difficult, something unexpected, which is just called life, by the way. Okay, this is, and what happens is you get discouraged and you stop moving. It's the worst possible thing you could do. Just take the next step. Just take the next step. Don't stop moving. Just take the next step. It may not be a big one this time, but just take a step. Sometimes you get frustrated in life and you end up taking little rabbit trails and you have no idea how you even got to where you were. Sometimes you just get distracted by all the goodies that are lying around in life. Like me with a Reese's peanut butter cup. It's the work of the devil. Delicious, but let me tell you, if you will go when you are supposed to go, and if you will be where you are supposed to be, that is when Jesus meets you. As they went. You see, the last miracle of Jesus was his resurrection. But that's not really the last miracle of Jesus, is it? You see where this is going? You see where this is going? All right. That's not the real last miracle of Jesus. It was not the healing of the ear of Malchus. It was not even Jesus raising from the dead. The last miracle of Jesus is happening right here, right now. It will happen tomorrow and it will happen the day after. The last miracle of Jesus is happening in you and in your kids and in your future grandkids, for now and for the future. So oftentimes people think of Jesus as a historical figure, which is true. But Jesus is also present right here, right now. And the same Jesus that delivered a man from years of self-harm, the same Jesus that rescued a prostitute from sure death, the same Jesus that spit on the eyes of a blind man and made him to see again, the same Jesus that commanded the storm to cease and it stopped, the same Jesus that raised Lazarus from the dead, the same Jesus that healed the ear of a slave in the garden, the same Jesus that allowed himself to be whipped and beaten and humiliated and taunted and tortured, the same Jesus that willingly surrendered his life to an executioner on a cross, That same Jesus that could simply no longer allow the rule of Satan on this planet to go unchecked. That same Jesus that was killed on a Friday night and rose back to life on a Sunday morning. That same Jesus that proves that death is not really the end. That Jesus. That Jesus. That Jesus wants to make you and every one of you his last miracle. And your kids and all those that follow you. You see, the last miracle of Jesus is always the miracle he does right before his next miracle. That's always the last miracle of Jesus. And I need the worship team to come and help me out now. Friends, that's really good stuff. Somebody should give a shout right now. You see, the miracles of Jesus, they don't run out. People, for some reason, I think it's just they've stopped or something. That there was only seven and that's it. The miracles of Jesus, they just don't run out. If you've been going through life this year, and you've been going through life a little faithless, you kind of just stumbled through the year faith-wise. About 3 o'clock this morning, you heard it was Easter, and you're like, oh man, I got to go to church. It's good. I'm just happy you're here. If you let the worries and cares of this life hold you down this year, if you've let the lower things of life keep you from the higher things of life, if life has taken some detours that you simply could not have imagined, then let me tell you today, Jesus is still in the resurrection business. He raised Lazarus back to life. He raised back to life. And if you'll let him, he'll raise you back to life. Jesus is alive and well. And I want you to know, he's just getting started. If it's been a hard season, give the whole season to Jesus. Because he's got enough resurrection power to take care of it. Friends, Jesus is not giving up on you. So don't you give up on him. Would you stand with me? Stand with me across this room. Across this room, would you just close your eyes and bow your heads as we respond today? Today you've heard about resurrection power. That's what you've heard about. The power of Jesus. And there's some of you here today that that's exactly what you need right now. You need Jesus to show up. I'm going to tell you something in case you haven't figured this out yet. When the women were leaving the tomb, it says as they went and Jesus showed up, you being here right now in this moment is you being where you're supposed to be. That's your as they went moment. He wants to meet you today. He wants to show up. He wants to show off. He wants to let you partake in resurrection power. If that's you today, you need the resurrection power of Jesus in your life, in a situation in your life. You need to give a season of your life to Jesus. And I want you to do that right now. If that's you, you want to say to God, God, that is exactly what I want to do today. Would you just lift your hand towards God right now? All over the room, you can put your hands down. I want you to hold on to that for a minute. Resurrection power. It's yours today. Let me talk to those of you that are in the room today. You've been coming around here for a while. You've been checking Jesus out. You're not 100% sure. You're a little bit skeptical. And so you've just been checking it out. That's good. But some of you today, you might be ready. You might be ready to move from checking it out to following Jesus. You may be ready to move yourself off the bench and onto the team. What does that mean? It really means two things. First, it means that you ask Jesus to forgive you. To forgive you of your sins. You see, life is complicated and broken. And we are not the exception to that. There are things that we need to bring to Jesus. Simply, we need to repent and ask Jesus to forgive us, which he gladly does. Without judgment, without condemnation. But then there's another part. And that's asking Jesus to lead your life. That's the part of following Jesus. Like, Jesus, I will follow you. Lead me. And if that's where you're at today, if that's what you want to do today, you'd say to God, God, that is what I want to do. I want to move from checking Jesus out to following Jesus. Would you just raise your hand towards God today? Just raise your hand. You can put your hands down. Across this room, there is great need for us to let Jesus show up. The good news is he's already here. If you need that resurrection power, if you want to move from checking Jesus out to following Jesus, I'm going to ask you to come on forward. Why don't you come on up to the altar today and spend some time in prayer? I'm not going to make you do anything here. Just spend some time in prayer. What does that mean? It just means talk to God. Just have a conversation with God about where you're at right here, right now. The worship team's going to lead us in this song. Give us all some time to pray.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, today we thank you for your resurrection power. We thank you that your miracles never run out. You still change lives. You still change hearts, including ours. Thank you that you so willingly and freely forgive us and invite us into your family, into your kingdom. And so today we rejoice with those that are accepting your invitation, for joining your team, your kingdom, and are following you. And help us all, each and every one in this room, help us to follow you well, to be where you want us to be, to go where you want us to go, and to do what you want us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Happy Easter, everybody. Amen. Amen.